This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com. The Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma that there was a certain Amira that every time he started a shiur, he started with something light. Now, the day after our great event, which we'll talk about in a moment, I asked Lori if I could come visit Raquel in Long Island Jewish. And I spoke to her, and one of the things that I said to her was, I asked her, do you know who's running for president? And she said, no. I said, you know, it's so unfortunate. You know, Trump is running and Hillary is running. And, you know, they're both no good. I said, who do you think should run for president? She said, Corinne Fuchs. Now, when she said that, she and I were laughing so hard, and Lori was crying. She couldn't believe that her daughter could crack a joke. And I said, it's not a joke. But it really is true. And then I told her, I said, you know, Raquel, you have only daughters. I want to give you an offer. If you have a boy and I do the bris, I'll do it free. But I said to her, but I'm going to give you my card, but you got to move your hand and take it. And I stuck out my card and I waited for her to move her hand. She couldn't yet, but she spread out her fingers. And I put it between two of her fingers and she closed her fingers on it. And I said, we got a deal. So, Mitz Hashem, if she has a boy, we're going to do it right down here. And you're all invited. Right. We'll probably need Grand Central Station. Wherever I go, since that Thursday morning, literally, I was just in Eretz Yisrael, and I spoke for 2,500 women in Binyanei Omah, and of course, most of them knew the story, but I told it to them with all the details of what happened. I've received calls from Switzerland, Eretz Yisrael, Canada, and England. It was written up in Ami, it was written up in Yated, it's on Matzav, it's all over the world. And the question is, really, how do we look at such an event that happened? Now, did it happen only because of the 40 women that were there? 60. I don't look at women. You know, I'll tell you what happened. I think one of the funniest things I ever said in my life was, you know, I was telling afterwards, I forgot where I told the story. I definitely used the line in the Binyanei Omah. Oh, it was in Campanos. Right, it was in Campanos. It was to the older campers and the whole staff. And I was telling the story and everybody was crying. And I said, you know, and afterwards when we realized that Lori was talking to her daughter, everyone was hugging and crying. I said, oh, yeah, everyone except me. You know, I don't want to get in trouble, you know. Right. But the 40 people who were there, 60 people that were there together, and all of us that had this chus to see how tefillahs could be answered, it certainly wasn't because only of us. It's obviously that it was just the makeh b'patish, which means like the final knock of the nail, you know, that made the difference. But there were thousands and thousands of tefillahs that were said all around the world before that moment. And not only that, I think, and I tell you the truth, I really believe that this added to the moment. Is the very first moment when we got together and I told everybody they must take water and have water because it was so brutally hot that morning. But I said, everybody has to shut their cell phones, not on vibrate. You have to shut the cell phone because for the next hour and a half, we're totally, totally going to focus on tefillah. And I believe that because the tefillah was done by certain women that have been coming here for 10 years, many of you have been coming for 10 years, 11, that That hachana. Is your name Corrine? No. Is for that hachana that people have been doing literally for years, that was the culmination. In other words, I don't believe for a moment. You can't imagine how many people have called me and say, come with us to the Kever of Tzaddikim, where you were. Like, which tzaddik did it happen at? You know, like, just tell us which one. We know you went to all of them, but which one did it happen at? It doesn't work that way. It worked because those women had such emunah and betochen for so many years by coming here and saying amen and being maminim, b'nei maminim, that when we came to that moment, it was the culmination of the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael, the culmination of those 60 women. But I will say this. There is a Gemara, and I get the chills when I tell it to you, because you can't take it away from those women that were there. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Megalgalin Zchus Ayidei Zakai, that sometimes Hashem wants a wonderful thing to happen, and He makes sure that it's wonderful people who make it happen. And for those women who are fortunate enough to be there, I will never, ever forget. And I was just telling Corrine and Sarah Bodner, I wish I could get the video of that. At the moment, at the end, after we were by Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef, one woman, I don't know who it was, asked me this question. And we all felt the same way. She just verbalized what we all felt. She said, we just saw a nace. Is that woman here who asked that question? You should be benched. Judy Rubin? She said that question. I've repeated it so many times. She said, we just saw a nace. We don't want to leave here. And nobody wanted to leave because you felt that you were embraced by Hashem. To daven and to cry and then to see what could possibly happen. She said, how do we go on from this nace? What do we take from this moment that we were able to see such a wonderful thing? And I told him something. Hashem put it in my head. I don't know where it came from. But I told him this, and I believe this belief, Shalim. And I told this to the people in the Binyanei Omah, and I tell it to everyone since you asked that question. And I think that what triggered it was the fact that you used the word nace. There are three different words that have three different meanings, but all have the same letters. The word nace is a miracle. And the word nace is a flag on a high banner. And the word nisayin, which is a test, also begins with the letters nun and samach. And you have to wonder, why did Hashem test Avraham Avinu? He loved him. So why was he putting him through such difficult tests? And I believe the answer is because he knew he would pass every one. And when somebody passes the test, they are on a higher level. They are in a higher Ramah. And that's what Hashem wanted to get Avraham Avinu. To be on that high Ramah. That's why He tested him. The Nisayin was so that he should be able to get to be on that level like a high flag. And when somebody is up there on that level, then the third Nes happens. Then the miracle can happen. And for all those women who came that morning in the brutal sun and had to drink constantly and had to be protected from the sun, they passed an assignment. They came to daven for somebody. It's not their relative, it's not their daughter, it's not their granddaughter, it's the daughter of a friend. But they were willing to come on that hot morning and they passed that assignment. And therefore they were now on a higher Ramah because they saw what the koyach of tefillah is. They were on that nace. And that's why we were zeichet to see that nace, that miracle. And it really was a miracle. Because later that afternoon, Dr. Sholem Huberfeld, who is Raquel's pulmonologist, he told me, I have been a pulmonologist for 21 years. He said, Rabbi Krohn, I am making this call because I don't want you to hear it from anybody else. I am telling you that there are no medical words and there are no medical expressions to verbalize what I saw today. It's impossible to explain it medically what happened. So we know it was the koyach HaTfilah. We know it was the koyach of holy women that have been davening all these years, and especially those women who went that day. So all of you who were there that day should feel so proud and know that what we are going to talk about today, how to improve our tefillah, how to elevate our tefillah, that you witnessed it, and the whole world knows about it, and all of you should be so proud of yourselves that the Eibishter chose us to be the vehicles of Megalgal and Zchus Ayidei Zakai. We were just so fortunate. Whatever we did till now, whether we had the Zchus Avos, or the Zchus HaTfila, or the Zchus of Avos Yisrael, Avos Hashem, we should thank Hashem that we're able to participate in such a great thing. But I will tell you this. Most of you don't know this, but the women on the trip knew that at every kever, whether it was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky or Rav Palm, Rav Palm's Rebbetzin, and then when we came to Rav Henoch Leibowitz, by each one, I had prepared already a kapitel of Tillim that we would say for the Refuah Shleima of Chaya Reza Bazdina. And because of that, I had my Tillim open, but somehow my Tillim just, the pages just flew to Chav Gimel. And I saw the Pasuk, and I felt, Rabbeinu Shlomo, that's the Pasuk to say. No matter what I prepared, this is the Pasuk. And that was the Pasuk, Gam ki eilech begeitz halmoves. Even though that I walk in the shadow of death, like ira ra, I will not fear evil. Ki ato imadi, because you are with me. And that's what we saw, and that's what we said. And it happened right after we sang that Pasuk. So before we talk about tefillah, and before we talk about how we can improve our daily tefillah, let's all stand and we'll say Pasuk by Pasuk, Perek Chav Gimel. Perek Chav Gimel is Perek 23, and we'll say it together. Mizmor LaDavid, Adinoi Roi Loi Echsor. Benois Deshe Yarbitseni Almei Menuchois Yenahaleni. Nafshi Yeshoivev Yancheni Bimagle Tzedek Laman Shemoi. Gam ki Eilech Begates Almoves Lo Iro Ro Ki Ato Imodi Shiftecha U Meshantecha Heima Yenachmuni. Tarach lefonai shulchan neged soiroi dishanta b'shem roishi koisi ravoya. Ach toy v'chesed yudafuni kol yemei chayoi v'shafti b'veis adinoi l'oirach yomim. I want to tell you a little story. Many years ago, when I was learning in the Beis Medrash of Torah Das, there was a fellow, a Hasidic fellow, nobody had ever seen him before. He came in and he was selling a pamphlet that he had written. Now this goes back, it's got to be maybe 1968 or 1970, something like that. No, it couldn't be. It had to be in the early 60s. And what happened was, he had written a pamphlet on tefillin. It was the first time anybody had ever written, was long before Art Scroll, Feldheim was just new then, and he wrote a black and white little pamphlet about tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel roish, Rashi's tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam, about the ritzuos, and the batim, what's doing inside, the various parshas, and all that. And it was fascinating. And he was very successful. His name was Shmuel Rubinstein. And he went from yeshiva to yeshiva selling those. And when he was very successful, he wrote on Sefer Torah, he wrote on tzitzis, he wrote on many, many different things. And I never heard from him again. I didn't know him. He didn't know us. He just went from yeshiva to yeshiva selling his things. And then years later, one day, I had already started writing Magid books. His family called, and they said they wanted to tell me a story. And they were calling at a very painful moment in their lives. And they told me like this, that when this man, Shmuel Rubinstein, was 11 years old, He lived in the Bronx, and Nebuch, his father, passed away. So this little 11-year-old boy was a yosem, and he had rheumatic fever. Rheumatic fever affects the heart, affects the nervous system, and he was traveling. Don't forget, this was like in the 50s. He was traveling all the way from the Bronx. He was traveling to Brooklyn to yeshiva. And the doctor told his mother, there's no way that your child can travel from the Bronx to Brooklyn every day back and forth. His heart is not strong enough. He'll die. He cannot exist this way. She said, what am I supposed to do? There's no yeshivas around where I live. I'm a widow. I don't have much money. Where am I going to send him? I'm not going to send him to public school. He said, look, I'm not your rabbi. I'm your doctor. I don't know what I can tell you as far as where to send him. But you can't send him to Brooklyn every day. He's just not going to make it. So she looked around and she found out that the Baba of a Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Halberstam, who was the most beloved person in the world, he had just come from Europe and he had a small yeshiva in Manhattan. So from the Bronx to Manhattan, that wasn't bad. And she figured, she's not a Hasidista, but listen, you know, being a chassid, if he's going to become one, is better than being in public school, right? Everybody will admit that. So she decided she's going to send him to the Baba of a Rebbe and the yeshiva that he had in Manhattan. Now, the Baba of a Rebbe was, as I said, the most beloved, kind, and caring person. And he became like a father to this boy, to the point that when Shmuel became bar mitzvah, he wanted to wear an upturned hat, he wanted to wear a gartel, he wanted to look just like the Rebbe. Now, this story takes place the first Sukkot after Shmuel's bar mitzvah. He was already mechuyev in mitzvahs, and his mother didn't have much money. She bought him a lulav and esrig, but it wasn't the best and the finest, and he knew that, but he knew it was kosher. But he was thinking to himself, you know what? Chol HaMoed, there's no school. Why don't I just get on the train, like I go every day, I'll go to the Rebbe, and I'll ask the Baba of a Rebbe if I could use his lulav and esrog, I could make a brach on it. So he was lying in bed and was thinking, should I go, shouldn't I go? And he's thinking, you know, if I go, that's such a great schus, because I'm sure the Rebbe's lulav and esrog is gorgeous. But what if I drop the esrog? I'm going to be so nervous. If I drop that esrog and the pitim breaks, you know, it's the end of my life. So like, maybe I shouldn't go because I know I'm going to drop it. I'm so nervous. But then he was thinking, but how can I not go? You know, the Rebbe likes me, and it's such a schus. So the next morning, he decides he's going to go. He comes, and the Rebbe sees him right after davening. He says, Shmuel, my kid, like, what are you doing here? There's no school today. He says, Rebbe, you know my mother. She means very well. But Nebuch, she has no money. So she got me a lulav and an esrog, but I know it's not really a hodar. It's not really beautiful. Would the Rebbe mind if I would bench on his lulav and esrog? He says, oh, Shmuel, you're such a tzaddikal. Of course, I'll get it for you. And he goes by his desk, and he brings him the lulav, and he takes out the esrig from the hay that it's wrapped in. Now, you know how you're supposed to do it. You take the esrig first, but you take it upside down. And then you take the lulav, and then you turn over the esrig. And, of course, he takes the esrig. It's upside down. The pitim's on the bottom. Then, as he takes the lulav, and he turns over the esrig, the nightmare happens. And he drops the esrog. He drops the esrog, and the esrog begins to roll towards the wall. And he's hoping, like Koirach, the world, the earth will open, he'll fall in, and that'll be the end. The Rebbe doesn't say a word. The Rebbe goes to the wall, picks up the esrog, and he says, Shmuel, my kin, take a look. The Eibishter, the Rebbeinu Shlom, has a message for you. The pitim didn't break. And he says, you know that the dalet minim represent different parts of the body. The lulav is represented by the spine. The hadasim are the eyes. The arobas is the mouth. And the esrig is the heart. And take a look, the esrig didn't break. So this is a sign from you that your heart is going to be strong. The doctor keeps telling you that you have rheumatic fever and your heart is weak. Look. The heart, your heart is going to be strong. This is the message. So something that was just a nightmare 5 seconds ago, all of a sudden became the biggest bracha. And he never, ever told this story to anyone. Never. Until many, many years later, he was sitting in the sukkah with his wife and children. One of his children is very famous. I'll tell you who he is in a second. And he's sitting with the children, and he says to his kids, Kindlach, I want to tell you a story. And I'm telling you a story for the first time today, because today is the anniversary of this story. It was the first day of Sukkot. It was Chol HaMoed Sukkot. And he tells them the whole story that I just told you. And he said, the Rebbe told me that my heart is going to be strong. And he said, I'm telling you the story because today it's 32 years since that story happened. And 32 is Begamatria Lev. And 3 weeks later he died. And that's when they called me. Now his son is a famous person, Shia Rubinstein, who lives in Marine Park, who's a Bal Chesed Ad Moed, who does so many things for the community. And he and I have become very, very close friends. And the point of the story that he was telling them was that the Rebbe's bracha was that he was going to have a strong lev, went deeper than that, not just physically that he was going to have a strong heart, but that he would live at least another 32 years. And the reason that I tell you this story is because today we have all come together to make our hearts strong, that we should live much longer than 32 years from now. You know why? Because the Gemara tells us in Tainis, Dav Beis Amud Aleph, Ezehi Avoida Shebelev. What is the service of the heart? Heva Oimezu Tfila. That's Tfila. So if we want to know how to make our heart strong, and the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Kuvavam and Beis HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liba Boy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants heart. And Rashi says, Rachmana Liba Boy. Rachmana means the compassionate one. And the Zohar quotes this Rashi many, many times. What does it mean Hashem wants heart? Hashem wants our tefillah. Hashem wants our sincere dedication to Him. That's why we daven. Many people ask the question, why do I have to daven to Hashem? He knows what I need. He knows what I want. And the answer is because, as Rab Aaron and others say, no, because we want that Hashem, Hashem wants that we should recognize that it's only because of Him. Because a person could feel, well, if I got the right doctors and I got the right medications and I do the right exercise and I do the right diet, I'm going to be fine. It's not that way. And if a person thinks that he's going to make the right plans and the right calls and he's going to reach the right CEOs, he's going to have parnasa. It doesn't work that way. We daven Baruch Aleinu for parnasa, and we daven Rufa'enu for healing, and we daven Shmak Aleinu for everything that we need in life, so that it enhances our emunah and understanding that everything is from Hashem. That's why we daven. Not that Hashem needs to know what we need. He knows what we need. But we strengthen our hearts and we strengthen our connection. That's the purpose of davening. Making a connection to Hashem every single day. So I'll tell you something amazing. I remember at the Siyum HaShas that was in Madison Square Garden before we had the big one at MetLife. I remember Rav Elya Svei said something that was absolutely remarkable. He said that when you learn Torah, no matter what you learn, Hashem is talking to you. In other words, when you learn Chumash, or a man learns Gemara, or you learn Hilchas Shabbos or Hilchas Brachas, Hashem is talking to you through the Svarim, or through the Rebbe, through the Mora. And Hashem is telling you what you want from Him, what He wants from you. But when you daven, you're talking to Hashem. You're telling Hashem what you want from Him. So why is it so many times that when we daven, our bodies are here and our minds are someplace else? It happens with every one of us. Nobody should feel guilty. It really happens with everyone. As a matter of fact, Chazal tell us something, and it is so incredible to me, because you'll never believe what daf in brachas is. Mrs. Kalish might know, but, you know, because her husband finishes shas every year. But otherwise, most people wouldn't believe what daf this is in brachas. The Gemara says, Arba tzrichin chizuk. Four things need constant work, constant encouragement, constant endeavoring to make it better. One of them is tefillah. You know why? Because if you daven Shemoneh Esrei three times a day, you're davening Shemoneh Esrei 1,000 times a year. I don't care what you do 1,000 times a year. After a while, you lose the interest. Can anybody guess what daf? Well, that's right. What daf is that? Mr. Klein-Kaufman, did you guess that? What daf? Lamed Beis, of course. You have Boki B'Shas, right? Okay, in Brachas, Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Ezehi Avoidah Shebelev. It's amazing. That's the Gemara in Brachas, Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. Very easy to remember. Arba, Tzrich, and Chizuk. Four things need Chizuk. So I just want to tell you a great story. This is a great story about the Satmar Rebbe. And the Satmar Rebbe, besides being a genius, had a great sense of humor. So I want to tell you a great joke that he once said. Has nothing to do with the speech, but it's a great joke. He was once collecting for one of his moistis, and somebody gave him $47. So he said to the person, "What's 47? Where did you get that number?" So he said, "Rebbe, it's begamatria your name, Yoel. Yud Vav Aleph Lamed. It's begamatria 47. So the Rebbe said in Yiddish, "In the Haim, Fleck Michrifin Yoelish." Shit is worth 300. So you can be sure that Satmar Chosid had to pay another 310 bucks because it was Yud Shin also. So the Rebbe was the type of person who could laugh at himself and could laugh in general. So he was once at a chasana and somebody asked him, "Rebbe, could I imitate you?" Now you can't ask that to everyone, but you could ask it to the Rebbe. And the guy got up and he was imitating the Satmar Rebbe so exact. It was so remarkable. Everyone was hysterical except the Rebbe. The Rebbe was sitting there, his mouth dropped open. He could not believe this imitation. And suddenly he started crying. And when he cried at the beginning, the Batchen didn't realize that the Rebbe's crying. You know, he's just watching everybody laugh. And then he sees his Rebbe's crying and he feels awful. He stops immediately and he says, "Entschuldig, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. Why is the Rebbe crying?" And the Rebbe said, "It has nothing to do with you." So he said, "So, but Rebbe, tell me, why is the Rebbe crying?" Listen to the ingenious remark that he said. He said, "I saw how you were imitating me. It was so perfect. It was so exact that it occurred to me that sometimes when I'm davening, I'm only imitating myself." Now, you know what that brilliant remark means? Sometimes we come to shul or we come to the main group. We have 100 things in our head. Shidduchim, panosa, health, kids at risk, marriage, everything. But you can't just stand around, do nothing. So what do? You shake, you say the words, you turn the pages. You're imitating yourself. You're just going through the motions. But you know your body is here, your mind is someplace else. Because there's so much going on in life. So if the Heilige Satmar Rebbe could admit that sometimes he was only imitating himself, what in the world should we do about ourselves? What should we say about ourselves? Sometimes we're also just going through the motions. How do we change that? So I think one of the ways that we can make sure that our tefillos are more acceptable is a beautiful mashal, if we understand a mashal from the Chofetz Chaim. And he says a very interesting mashal that we could all relate to. He said, imagine somebody builds a beautiful neighborhood along a seashore. And the water flow from the crystal river, beautiful water, clear water, that's the water source for the community, except the pipes that draw the water from the ocean or the sea or the river, whatever it is, into the apartment buildings and the homes are corroded, dirty, and filthy. You could have the best homes, you could have the best and purest water, but if those pipes are corroded and dirty and filthy, the water is not going to be drinkable because it's going through difficult pipes. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Every word of Torah and Tefillah that we say and learn creates a malach. The malach goes through Shemayim. The Torah is holy. The Tefillah is holy. That's like the river. It's got to get to Shemayim, which is the apartment building or the nice home. How is it getting through our pipes? What is the pipe? The pipe is the mouth. So the next time that a person speaks Lashon Hara, imagine you're corroding that pipe. The next time that you say something nasty, or a person says a lie, or a person says something painful to a spouse, to a child, you're corroding those pipes. So the Chofetz Chaim says there's no way that the Malachim could come up to Shemayim with holiness. It's the Brachan of Malachim. It's Malachim that are soiled. Not because the Torah is bad or the Tefillah is bad. The Torah and Tefillah are like the water in the river and the sea. It's pure. And Shemayim is like the gorgeous home. But it's got to get through those pipes. So as I told the people in the Binyanei Oma the other night, Many people think that if you learn Shmiras HaLashon, that's how you're going to stop talking Lashon Hara. That's not how you're going to stop. You know how you're going to stop? Is one step before. You got to love everyone. If you love someone, you'll never say anything bad about that person. I have a sister who I love, right? I would never say anything about her, ever. Negative. Right? You know that. She knows that. I'm the oldest, she's the youngest, and everybody else is the meat in the sandwich. But when you love somebody, you're not going to say anything bad. That's the step before learning Shmiras HaLashon. And the step before getting to that chumash or getting to that siddur is to make sure this pipe here is pure and clean and pristine. Otherwise, there's no hope of the tefillah getting up to Shemayim in holiness. So when you are careful, when you speak, it's not that you're saving somebody else aggravation, you're saving yourself aggravation. Because we spend so much time davening and so much time saying tilim. But what good is it? It's almost hopeless if you use your mouth to hurt other people. Or if you use your mouth to lie and to cause machlekes. And many people sometimes, you know, they're thinking, okay, fine, you know, that's between that person. You know, I don't like that person, it's not a good person. No, but that's poisoning the pipes. That's the first lesson in tefillah. Before you even walk into shul, you got to make sure that the pipes are clean. The second thing is an amazing thing that the Chafetz Chaim says also. And it says like this. You know, there's a very interesting Gemara in Tainus Chofei Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us that there was a time when there was no water in Eretz Yisrael. And there was no rain. And if there's no rain, there'll be a drought and people will starve. So they went to Rebbe Lezer and they said, Rebbe, please daven for us. If it doesn't rain in this season, we're going to have no crops. So Rebbe Lezer davened and nothing happened. So they said, okay, let's go to Rabbi Akiva. And they went to Rabbi Akiva and he davened and it started raining. So everybody said, oh, the Gemara in Tainus Chofei Amud Beis tells us, oh, have a Meran and Rabbanan. They said, ah, you see, Rabbi Akiva is a big tzaddik. And Rabbi Lezer is not such a big tzaddik because Rabbi Akiva davened and it rained. Rabbi Lezer davened and it didn't rain. How did that happen? Yotza Baskoil, a voice from Shemayim came out. Va'omra, and it said, listen to this, Baskar, let's listen to this voice. Not because Rabbi Akiva was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Lezer. You could have a great Talmud Chacham and his tefillahs are still not going to be answered. You know what the key is? The Gemara says, Shezeh Mavir Almidaisav. V'zeh Eina Mavir Almidaisav. This person, Rabbi Akiva, who was able to look away, there are certain people that if you hurt them, you say something, they could keep quiet. They're not going to shoot back an answer. Hashem says, oh, you could keep quiet. You're able to look away if somebody hurts you, you know something? I'll look away also. You did something not so good, I'll look away. That's how you get your tefillahs answered. There are a lot of people who say things that are painful to us. And we want to shoot back and we want to answer back. But if you're able to control yourself and you're able to look away, Hashem says, you know something? That's the key. You look away, I'm going to look away. Every one of us here, without exception, has done things in the past that we're not proud of. That's human nature. And we don't want Hashem to remember that when we daven. We want Hashem to be able to look away. Hashem says, you know something? You look away, I'll also look away. And in Masilas Yesharim, he writes about it. He says, who in his right mind can come to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur thinking that he's going to have a good year if he doesn't start looking away when other people hurt him? Because otherwise Hashem's going to look at every little thing that you do. So one thing is, again, before you even open the siddur, is to make sure that the pipes are clean. You have to be able to say a kind word to everyone. You have to be able to build people, not break people. And if somebody does something to you, look away. It's an amazing midah. It's the greatest investment. It's not an easy thing. That tefillah should be answered. It's not an easy thing. Just don't press a button. But you have to work on yourself. Work on the pipes. And work on the midas to look away so that Hashem also will be willing to look away. Now there's another thing. I brought a gift for each and every one of you. And I think it's very, very important that we should take this gift and really be serious about it. You know, when Naftali, Gilad, and Ayal, Nebuch, when they were kidnapped, it took 18 days for the whole world to know what happened with them. And I always wondered, why did Hashem make it for 18 days? No one knew where they were. The Israeli police are so brilliant. They're so well trained. How could these detectives not know what happened to them? And I'll tell you, during those 18 days, I happened to be in Zurich. I was Friday night in a shul called the Erika Shul. It's on Erika Strasse. It's a Hasidic shul. Everybody with a beard, pay his gartel, upturned that. I was the only one that looked like me. Totally different. Totally different. But then, right before Kabbalah Shabbos, the Gabbai got up and he said, now we're going to say Tillim for those three boys. Now, I can tell you, the way those Hasidic people said Tillim, I literally started crying. Because you thought they were saying for their own children. And you know why I cried? I've heard Tillim said before. But I cried because I thought, look how these fellows are davening. 3 weeks earlier, if they would have seen these three kids with kippah srugot in yeshivas that they would never send their kids, living in areas where they would never live, who knows if they would even look at them. But now that they were betzaris, they were davening as if it was their own kids. It was incredible. And I believe that we had an achdus, if you remember, that we haven't had in 100 years. That's why, in my humble opinion, when Hamas shot thousands of rockets, how is it humanly possible not one shul blew up? Not one house blew up? Nobody was killed. One little boy, Nebuch, and Ashdod from shrapnel. But no, how it's humanly impossible? Like Dr. Huberfeld said. It doesn't make sense mathematically. How could you shoot so many rockets all across Eretz Israel and no bus is blown up? You know why? Because of the achdus. That's what I believe. That's why Hashem waited 18 days so that there should be such created achdus in preparation for the war. And then, when everybody found out what happened, I know somebody who was at the house of Mrs. Frankel, Naftali's mother. It's unbelievable the holiness of women in Klal Yisrael. She said a statement, you just can't believe it. If you never heard it, you could lose your breath. She said, at the end, I had a partial nechama. And everybody was looking for her. What do you mean a partial nechama? How could there be a nechama she never lost a teenage child? Listen to what this tzaddikah said. She said, I know that my son Naftali loved doing mitzvahs. And the mitzvah that he loved to do the most was the mitzvah of tefillin. He was so proud to wear his tefillin. And I knew that those 18 days that he was missing, I knew those terrorists, there's no way that they were going to let him wear his tefillin. But then when I found out that he was killed the first day, I said to myself, oh, at least Baruch Hashem, my son didn't have to go one day without wearing tefillin. When I heard that, it took my breath away. Could you imagine? A Yiddish mama should say something like that. It's amazing. So when I heard that, I made up my mind, we must, absolutely must, make a tikkun the way people act when they wear tefillin, that's the men, and of course women when they daven. And that is, from now on, the second you put on tefillin, or the second you begin davening, shut the phones. Not put it on vibrate. Shut it, so that you disconnect, and we came up with an expression, disconnect to reconnect. If you disconnect from Staples and Mixbook and all the ridiculous ads that you get a hold of, you can reconnect. And I think, and my dear friend Yaakov Solomon told me, that's what people should do when they eat supper with the kids. Show them that you want to connect with them. Disconnect. Because we become so addicted. And then we made up a poster, and there's a guy, Dovi Waxler, who sponsored these. Every one of you will be able to get a sticker. If there's not enough, the future president of the United States will get some tomorrow. And I'll make sure. Hey, you still there? Okay. That everybody will be able to get them. Put it in your sitter. Put it on your refrigerator. And give it to your husband. If some of you would see how they act in shul, it's a disgrace. I didn't even want to tell you. Oysa shalom b'mreima v'yasa shalom, and they take you out. There's an ad from Staples. Rabbi Feiner can tell you. All the rabbanim can tell you. It's awful. It's awful. And then, some of you know, my dear friend, Rabbi Yaron Halbertal, fabulous, fabulous Rebbe in Darkei Torah. He calls me up. He heard me say this drasha. He said, Rabbi Groen, I'm telling you, you got to fasten your seatbelts for what I'm going to tell you now. He says, don't you realize Naphtali is the Oisiyes Tefillin. Nun, Pei, Tof, Lamed, Yud, Tof, Pei, Lamed, Yud, Nun. Could you believe that? It's unbelievable. I mean, I always tell parents, the Gemara says, Shema Gorim, your name has an influence. I guarantee you that when Mrs. Frankel and her husband, Zalzan Gesund, that when they named their baby Naphtali, they were not thinking that that would be his mitzvah. That's unbelievable. One of the most important decisions you ever make in your life is the name that you give to your children, not your grandchildren. Don't you dare mix in. That's... I always tell the grandparents, you want to name a child, go out and have another one. Don't ever mix in. So I just want to tell you, you know, you talk about Shema Gorim, and of course everybody's going to take one of these Mit Hashem. So, you know, all of you know that my first name is Pesach. But you know what the word Pesach means when you study the Haggadah of Pesach? And the month of Nisan, it's a combination of two words. Peh, soch, a mouth that speaks. You know what my middle name is? Yosef, a lot. So, that's why I don't stop. So, I'm sure that when my mother named me after her father, she was not thinking I would become a speaker. That's for sure not. But the point is, that's the tikkun that we have to make in tefillah. And I think the mere fact, the act of shutting a cell phone, not only shows you and your family, but it shows Hashem that you want to connect. So no matter when you're davening mincha, even though it's short, and it's ma'ariv, it's not shachris, or even when you're saying krishma at night, shut the phone. That act alone enhances your tefillah, because you're disconnecting to be able to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here's another thing that most of you may not realize, and of course you have to ask your Rabbonim exactly where to do it, but I'm going to tell you this important concept, and that is, personalize your tefillah. Do you know that you're allowed to talk in English in the middle of Shemini Esrei? Many people don't know that. Now, the Heilige Chazal put tefillah together so we can't skip any of the Hebrew words, but you take a look in the on-scroll Siddurim today, in Rifa'enu, before the end, there are words that you could add. You could be mispala for a person. And by Baruch Aleinu, Parnasa. You or your spouse or your children need Parnasa Daven for them in Baruch Aleinu, in English. In Shema Kaleinu, before Kiyat Shemaya Tefillah, you have in the Art Scroll Sedurim and most of the Sedurim, two beautiful, beautiful Tefillahs. You're all intelligent. You'll all see the words. You'll understand the meaning. Art Scroll anyway has it translated on the other side, on the other page. But when you talk to Hashem in your language, you're not worried about anybody else in shul. You're talking. You're having a conversation, just like we're having a conversation now. And when you have a conversation with Hashem, that's a different opening of your heart. That's a different connection. And Rabbi Dishlah HaKadosh writes, "Sheyechadesh divrei tachnunim v'shailos v'bakoshais," you should make up your own bakasha is what you need, b'ktzaz brachas atfilin lebekulam, and some of them are even in all of them. V'achidushim, and he writes, when you add, that's yigmenu l'chavin libo, that's going to help that you are machavin. Because just like when you and I have a conversation, you're thinking about every word. When you have a conversation with Hashem, so then you're thinking about every word, that adds to the kavona. And not only that, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes, kuf nun ches, ukeshet espalel, toisif, alkol brocha, ubrocha me'inyonel. Daven every aspect, every subject about what you're talking about. Ki b'yoysehem mechinim asalev, that's going to help you. Now I want to tell you a little story. It's a little bit of a painful story, but I want to share it to you because I think that all of us can make a tikkun today. Of course, it should be a refuah shleima for Chaya Reza Bas Dina, of course. But I want to tell you a story that happened a number of years ago with me. I'm sure all of us here are old enough to remember 9/11. And I remember the day of 9/11, of course, I was literally on the way to Toronto. I had done a bris, and I was coming home. I'm going to put my bris instruments at home. And all of a sudden, I get a call from my wife, and she says, you can't go to the airport. You can't go to Toronto. There's a plane that crashed into the Twin Towers, and they shut all the airports. At that time, when the first plane went in, nobody knew if it was a terror attack or just an accident. I ran home, I put on the radio, and I went to my next-door neighbor who had a TV, a Geisha fellow, and he said to me, I'll never forget this. He was a builder. He said, there's no way that that building is going to fall. I helped build it. Right? As he said it, the second plane went in. And 5 minutes later, they both went down. Right? So, you know, Altiftuchu ben Adivim, he was so positive. He was like, he was part of the build. He was a builder. So he was part of that crew. I'll never forget him telling me, it'll never go down. But anyway, about an hour or two afterwards, I get a call from Mrs. Reifer. Mrs. Reifer, at that time, Rachel Reifer was the menahel, the menahelet of Shevach High School. And she says, Rabbi Krohn, please come tomorrow. Come tomorrow and speak in the school. Because we're going to have an assembly, and you've come many times, Rosh Chodesh, please, you got to talk to the girls. I said, Mrs. Reifer, I'm frightened like everybody else. I'm confused. I don't know what to say. Well, I got to think about this. She said, no, please, I'm telling you, we're going to have davening and then 9 o'clock. Please come. I said, you got to give me a few hours and then I'll call you back. Okay. I call her back because I had spoken to a number of Rabbonim. I looked at certain Svarim. And then I said, okay, fine, good, I'll come. So I came the next morning. The next morning, America, the world was changed forever. Every time we on a plane, it's changed because of 9/11. 9/11 changed the history and the direction of the world. Everybody knows that. Fine. I come to Shevach, and she, as the principal, spoke a few words first, and then she was going to introduce me. But she said something that was so extraordinary that morning that I think about it, without exaggeration, every single day, as you will see in a moment. Every single day. I don't even remember, although I keep notes of everything, what I said that day, but I will never forget what she said. And she said like this. She said, every morning when we daven, and every time we say Aleinu, there are three phrases. There's Aleinu, Alkinakava, and then in a different typeface. Every sitter has it in a different typeface. There are three psukim that many people don't say, and it says like this. Altira mipachat pisayim. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. Umishoyas rishoyim ki savoy. And the calamity of Rishoyim when it comes. We say to the goyim, uto eitza vesufa. Plan a conspiracy, but it's going to be annulled. Dabru dova, you make your plans. V'lo yokum. Why? Ki imanu keil. Because Hashem is with us. And she said, girls, I want you to know, we saw sudden terror yesterday. A yid should never be afraid. Why? Ki imanu keil. I'll tell you the truth. I was so moved by what she said. I made up my mind from that mincha on, I will try never to miss saying Altira. And from that day on, by mincha and on, a mairiv, every single time, I say Aleinu, Alkinakav, I try never, ever to miss Altira. And I think of what she said, Altira mepachat pisayim ki imonu keo, because Hashem is with us. Fine. Years go by. It's about, that was in, 9/11, 2001. And 10 years, a couple years later, about 8-9 years later, my mother, who I was very, very close to, unfortunately passed away. She was a quintessential almana. She was an almana for 40 long years. She never got over the passing of my father. And I have a great wife. We lived literally two blocks away from her, and I supported her till her dying day. And we sat Shiva, and it was just so weird. I'm sure you remember that we sat Shiva for her the way we sat for our father, because my father passed away Shemini Atzeres, so the Shiva started right after Yontif, and once again, by Mommy, it also started right after Yontif. Motzei Shabbos, when the Shiva was going to be over, I get a call from Mr. Reifer. That's Rachel Reifer's husband. Now, Rachel Reifer had been there on Thursday because I was on the board of Shevach, and we were very friendly. I would come to speak there often, and she worked together with my wife. And Mr. Reifer was calling. I figured he was calling to be Menachem Mavel because, after all, he couldn't come from Muncie or whatever. And he's crying. And I'm trying to think, why is he crying? He didn't know my mother. And he's talking about a woman who died. And I'm trying to think, why is he crying? And then I realize he's not talking about my mother. He's talking about his wife. Friday night, she was crossing Route 59 in Muncie, and Nebach, she was hit by a car and she was killed. And he was telling me that tomorrow, Sunday morning, Mrs. Krause, I'm sure you remember, was that terrible, terrible fight. Such crying by the students and the staff and the board. Everybody loved her. She was such a great principal. She was a student's principal. Everybody loved her. She was amazing. Mrs. Klein-Kaufman, you probably knows what kind of great woman Mrs. Reifer was. It was just unbelievable. And everybody knew that I was so close to her. I was on the board. I was one of the people that, you know, said that they should hire her. The reason I said it was because of her English accent, but besides, she was a good person. Anyhow, they asked me to come to speak at the Shalashim. And so I came to Muncie in Shiva Spring Valley. Must have been 1,000 women there. And I told everybody the story that I told you about 9/11. And I said, you know, ever since I've been saying 9/11, ever since I've been saying Altira since 9/11, I always wondered about the third pasuk. Now I'm going to show you the third pasuk, and you will be amazed at something that's going on in that pasuk that Yeshaya is quoting Hashem. Hashem is saying the word I five times. Five times in one pasuk. Now I'm going to read it in Hebrew, then I'll translate. V'yad zikna anihu, v'yad seva ani esbol, ani osisi, v'ani eso, v'ani esbol v'amalek. What is going on here? What is Hashem talking about? What is Yeshaya quoting that Hashem says I five times? This is the English translation. V'yad zikna, Hashem says, you get older, don't worry, anihu, I don't get old, I'll be there for you. V'yad seva, you'll be elderly, don't worry, ani esbol, I'll carry you. Ani Asisi, I made you. Vani Esa, I will bear you and carry you. Vani Esbol, V'amalek, and I'll save you. And in my Siddur, I have these Anis underlined. And I said to everyone, you know, there are many people that if you look at the advertisements for iPod or iPhone, it's always a small letter, lowercase I, right? Because most people are lowercase people. They're always thinking about themselves. But I think we have to become uppercase people. I care. I do. I help. And that's what I think Hashem is telling us in Altira. Ani, I'll be there for you. I'll carry you. I'll save you. I'm going to help you. I'll be there for you. And that's why, in my opinion, today at this holy event together, not only for the Chayla, but L'Zechen Nishmas, our sister, that we should all be makabel from now on. Every time that we say Aleinu, we should say Altira. And just underline those words, Ani. Ani, I help, I do, because that will teach us three times a day what kind of people we really have to be. People that are not only thinking about ourselves, but thinking about others. And that's what I think is the beauty of the Amen group. The beauty of the Amen group by Al-Sara is that you all come here not thinking about yourselves. You're thinking about other people, to give everybody the schus to say Amen, which everybody knows is Begamatria Malach. We've come here today for Chayirezel Bazdina and for, of course, for her sister, Allah Shalom. And that we have to know, Altira Mipachat Pisaim. It's a very frightening moment to see that a mother is still so incapacitated that she cannot go back to her twin girls. But we have to know, Altira Mipachat Pisaim. Ki Monokel, Hashem is with us. And we saw what tefillah could really accomplish. Hashem should help that each and every one of you should strengthen ourselves. Let us be careful the way we speak to our spouses, to our friends. Make sure the pipes are perfect. Let's make sure that we become Mavar al Midesav. Let's make sure that we are machazik ourselves in tefillah. I think one of the ways to be machazik is to learn the words and learn the meaning. It's better to say one halleluka and know the meaning of that one than to say two and not to know the meanings of both of them. Study in the siddurim that we have today. And then, of course, finally, say Altira. And just remember that no matter what happens in life, Ki Monokel, Hashem is with us. David should help that all of us should learn this lesson of disconnect to reconnect. And just as all of you have connected to each other, we should all be connected to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that he should answer our tefillos l'toiv, and we should be zeicha that next year we'll be able to get together in Yerushalayim and HaKadosh. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.